I'd like to ask you if you would. I'm going to just talk to you about baptism this morning. And in the lower left-hand corner of the screen, you can see Matthew chapter 3 is where I'm going to be. I'd like you to jump in there, and I want to move quickly through this if I can. There is a Bible app event for this message. So the picture that is on the screen there, take a look at the picture on the screen there, that is a baptism service I had the privilege of attending several years ago. And it's blurry on purpose because I don't have permission from those people to show their picture. So it's blurry on purpose. But can anyone recognize the surroundings there? Of course you can, because that's Turkey. They're in the country of Turkey, and we're looking out across the Aegean Sea there. And hey, Tom and Lewis, were you there when I was there? I don't remember if you were there. Yeah. I don't know. I was there a long time ago. Anyway, that's the Aegean Sea, and right on the other side is Greece. And if you go, I don't know, 50 miles or so down the beach, you're going to end in a place called Ephesus, where Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is related to Ephesus. It's quite lovely there. The prettiest thing, the most beautiful thing, the most lovely thing about that is the dad and the mom baptizing their little girl there in the Aegean Sea. What a beautiful thing that is, isn't it? What we're doing today is no less beautiful. We don't have the Aegean Sea. We don't have Greece on the other side. We have a very nice baptistry here that's filled up by Brian. Thanks, Brian, for all the work you do in the church. Filling the baptistry is not among the least of them, and we're thankful for that. So it's a beautiful thing. And what I want to do, I want to take you through an understanding of baptism rather quickly here this morning. So again, we're looking at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to read about Jesus' baptism. It's only about six sentences. Follow along as I read, please. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So I want to think about this issue of baptism, and I want to talk to you about it just biblically. What does the Bible say about baptism? Because who cares what Pastor Steve has to say about it? What does the Bible say about it? And most basically, the Bible teaches that baptism is kind of a symbol of being made clean, and that is carried out, of course, by water. Remember when you were a kid, and you'd be out playing in the dirt or something like that, and you'd come in, and your mom would say, take a bath. Before you even sit at the table, take a bath. And you'd hop into the bathtub, and, you know, an hour and a half later, if you're 9-year-old Steve, you know, your mom says, come on, it's supper time, get out of there. And all along the edge of that bath, where the water level was, there's this really dark dirt there. And you let the water out, and there's this sand in the bottom and stuff. You're like, whoa, this water was so dirty. Why did I get in it, right? Yeah. Water does that cleansing thing, and that's why baptism involves water, because you, if you're trusting in Christ, have already been made clean. This water, did you notice I said this baptism symbolizes a cleansing? It does not accomplish a cleansing. In fact, when you turned your heart to Jesus and said, I want to ask Jesus into my heart, he made you clean. And he cleaned you not by water, but by his blood. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, if you're thinking, wait a minute. If baptism represents cleansing from sin, then why did Jesus get baptized? And that's a really good question. Here's one answer, because he's doing it as an example to us. Another answer is, remember, he said, this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus, think about why he's here. He's coming to die for everyone's sin. That's why he came, right? And he's going to become the priest eternal after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal priest to make intercession for you and I. And if you happen to be reading the law of Moses, the law of God, in Exodus chapter 29, God is talking to Moses about how to institute this priesthood. And he says, then bring Aaron, who was the first priest in Israel ever, then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting, the place that they met God. And look what it says next. It says, and wash them with water. So Jesus being baptized is, yeah, an example to us, but his baptism symbolizes the beginning of his ministry, his priestly ministry. He's ceremonially washed, and he is spiritually filled with the Spirit. And for us, the baptism of Jesus represents our having been washed by his blood and our having been given the Spirit of God to live in us. In our tradition, we do it by immersion. That's why we have this big thing up here. I tell you, we could have saved $3,500 if we had just a little pitcher to pour it on people or a little sprinkle thing to do something like that, right? Yeah. And the Alliance, we prefer dunking both our cookies and our people. And we prefer that for a couple different reasons. Number one, it's more vivid. That's pretty cool. If it is a symbol to show something, this is a vivid way to do that. Number two, and this maybe makes a little more sense, it is more likely in accordance with what John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, and his disciples were doing when Jesus came. When he came to them, they were in the water. I mean, you heard me read it out of verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. To come up out of the water, you have to have gone into the water. So it would appear that when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, he went into the water, and immersion is shown in that. Immersion is symbolic of other features. One specific one I want to talk to you about that baptism demonstrates, and namely, that's death and resurrection. Drew, do you remember, what was the first song we sang this morning? Yeah, you called my name, and I came out of that grave. Yeah, I love that. And it fits so well with the idea of death and resurrection. It's demonstrated in baptism. You know, when I baptize someone, sometimes I've seen missionaries, this is cool, they'll just be in the river, and they'll put their hand on the person being baptized's head, and he kind of squats down into the water, and he comes back out. That would be too easy. When I baptize someone, I hold them like this, and they're facing in that direction, and I recline them, bury them into baptism, and raise them to live a new life. Did you see what I did there? Yeah, that's symbolic of, baptism is symbolic of being dead and being raised from the dead, coming out of the water, raised to live a new life in life, in Christ. In fact, let's go to Romans chapter 6 and talk about the change that baptism symbolizes or represents. You know, people use baptism in secular society, the word baptism, to talk about change all the time. For example, someone might say, man, my baptism into hunting was when I was 12 years old, and I was baptized with more bunnies than you could count. I mean, there were so many bunnies that day, right? Or someone else might say, my baptism into teaching was with the worst class that ever graduated from Brookville High School in 1979, right? Or someone else might say, my baptism into driving was the blizzard of 06, you know, or something like that. Yeah, baptism speaks of an entry into something and a leaving behind of something else. Well, follow along as I read verses 1 through 7 from Romans 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, okay? Baptized into his death, and we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead of the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in death like this, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know our old self was crucified with him, so the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So when you hear those words, you realize that baptism symbolizes something dying. And that's something that dies. Well, let me read it again. Verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So something dies. We are made dead to sin. And then something lives, that we too may live a new life. When you ask Christ into your heart, he defines you as being dead to sin. When you ask Christ into your heart, he defines you as being made alive to God. So number one, baptism represents having been dirty and being made clean by the blood of Christ, not by the water in the tank. And baptism represents being dead to sin and being alive to God in Christ Jesus. I love what baptism means biblically. Let me talk to you about what it means to people personally to be baptized. There are a number of good reasons that people choose to get baptized. One is, it shows others, it shows people, your commitment to Christ. I've told a story a couple different times. Lori was someone who knew me by name, but I don't know that we'd ever met, and she was in the hospital, local hospital, dying with cancer, and they were going to send her home. She was going to go on hospice, and she had gone as a little girl. She'd gone to a different Alliance church, and so she called on me, and I went in to see Lori, and I said, what can I do for you? She said, I really need to make my peace with God. And Lori, there on the hospital bed, she placed her faith in Christ's death for her. And she prayed out loud, "Jesus, I know I've sinned. I believe that you died for me, that when you went to the cross, it was for me. I don't know why you did that, but I'm so thankful you did. Please forgive me. I want to follow you." And she was changed as a human being then. Her husband called me and said, "I just had to call you and tell you." And he's not this kind of guy, right? "I got to call you and tell you. I don't know what you did with my wife, but she is a different person than she was when she went into the hospital." It was a spiritual change. So I followed up with her naturally, and she said to me, "Hey, would you baptize me?" And I'm looking at her in that bed, and I'm saying, "I can't get you into the pool." I didn't say that out loud. I immediately said, "Absolutely, I'll baptize you. Can I sprinkle you?" She said, "That would be great." I said, "Can we do it in your house?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I got one rule. The only rule, this is it. You got to invite everybody you know." And she did. Man, that house was packed. She did that because she wanted those people to know she had placed her faith in Christ. It was maybe one of the highlights of my spiritual pastoral life. Baptism is a public way that you tell others that God has made a difference in your life. The people who are being baptized today want you to know that they're following Christ. They want you to know that they knew their sins needed washed away, and the blood of Christ has done that. And they want you to know that they knew they needed a big change to be dead to sin and alive to God, and Christ did that when they trusted him as their Savior. And being baptized publicly is a way of them saying, "This is what's going on in my life privately, personally, in my life." It shows your friends that you have a commitment to Christ. It shows God you have a commitment to Christ. It's kind of like a wedding ceremony. The moment when the bride says to the groom, "I am yours and yours alone," and the groom says to the bride, "I am yours and yours alone," everything changes at that moment. And the bride and the groom, when they say those words, they're expressing a commitment that means more than any other commitment they have expressed to one another. More than anything else they've said to one another. And when you're being baptized, you're doing a similar thing to God. You're saying, "God, I love you, and I am committed to you." It shows God that you're committed to Christ. It reminds you that you're committed to Christ. I'm going to stick with the marriage illustration for a moment. You know, sometimes you hear people say, "You know, marriage is just a piece of paper." And when they say that, they really show that they don't get it. They just don't get it. There is something about a wedding ceremony. When you make a promise before God and humankind, that changes the outlook of your heart toward one another. And baptism is that way. I mean, you probably won't hear heaven's bells when you're baptized, but you will hear your heart say, "Yes, God, I am yours. I am yours." Baptism shows you're committed to Christ. Okay, so we talked about it biblically. We talked about it personally. Let's talk about what baptism means spiritually to us. And spiritually speaking, baptism reminds you that you are clean. Remember, this water doesn't make you clean. Even this action does not make you clean. It is the blood of Christ that makes you clean. And this is a symbol of that blood of Christ cleaning you. We wouldn't baptize you in water we wouldn't baptize you in blood because that'd be kind of gross. We baptize you in water. Sorry, wow, the eye roll that I got from my wife on that one. That was worth saying right there. Yeah. But you're washed in the blood of Christ. We baptize you in this water so that you're reminded of that. And by the way, these kind of reminder things are so incredibly biblical. Think about Passover. Think about the Feast of Booths. Think about all the feasts that God established in the Scripture. Think about communion. Do this as often as you take it in remembrance of me. It is like those things serve as spiritual mile markers on your journey. And so baptism reminds you, it serves as a spiritual mile marker. It reminds you that you're washed by the blood of Christ. It reminds you that you're free from guilt and shame, and shame rather. That as a Christian, it reminds you, like today, if all the people who stood up and said, "Yeah, I've been baptized already," this service will remind you of that moment when you were baptized. And that spiritually is a point of refreshment for you and growth for you. Baptism reminds you that we're clean. It reminds you that you're new, that you're not the same person you once were. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ." Really? He wasn't on the cross with Christ. He's talking about a spiritual thing. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." He's dead. Dead. "The life I live in the body, I live by faith." This life, when he comes out of the water, symbolized. "I live this life in the body. I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So the Bible says we're dead to sin. You know, I have a really negative example to use to explain this. I used to really struggle. How do you explain dead to sin? And then when I thought of this, it's like, this makes sense. So there's a guy I know who did something terrible. Doesn't matter what he did. It was something he should have been ashamed of. And I was talking to his family about it, and one of them said, he is dead to me. And by the way, I've heard that from numerous families along the way. He is dead to me. I'm not pointing at you, Rusty. I'm pointing at the imaginary person, right? He's dead to me. But think about that. Isn't that awful? He is dead to me. But you probably heard someone say that. Maybe you've even said it yourself. I have said it myself. He is dead to me. If someone is dead to me, they have no power over me. They have no influence in my life. I need not invest in them any longer. They have no influence. I said influence, responsibility. I have no responsibility to them. They have no sway in my life. It's really ugly to say that about a person. He is dead to me. But it's beautiful to say, I am dead to sin. It is dead to me. Because the Bible talks about that. You are dead to sin. That's not ugly at all. That's beautiful. And when I hear those verses we read earlier in Romans chapter 6, where it says, what shall we say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We have died to sin. It no longer has the influence over us that it once did. And baptism stands as a mile marker to remind you that sin doesn't have to reign in your life because you're trusting Christ. Dead to sin and alive to God. And now I have responsibility to him, and he gives me power, and he invests in me, and I invest in him, and he has influence in my life, and I have responsibility toward him because I'm alive to him. You know, as we enjoy this baptism service, as we enjoy it, if you've already received Christ and been baptized, I pray that this service will remind you of who you are. One who is washed in the blood of Christ. One who is dead to sin and alive to God. Because you need that spiritual mile marker in your life. You know the old hymn, it said, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, up there I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. That's just such a beautiful group of words, but it is such a meaningful spiritual reality. So as you're watching, if you've been baptized and you're trusting in Christ, as you're watching these people be baptized, remember who you are. And hold on to that spiritual marker, mile marker. If you're being baptized today, those of you that are being baptized today, it is our prayer that this event, that this moment, will remind you of the goodness of God to you in sending Christ. And in your spirit and in your heart, you will celebrate what Christ has already done in your life when you ask him to forgive you and to save you. And you will affirm that you're dead to sin and that you will live a life where you're alive to God. And if you're someone that hasn't been baptized, I pray that you just look at this mile marker and say, that's pretty stinking cool. And as you walk with God, you will walk toward him and all he has for you. Let's unite our hearts in prayer before we begin the baptism service. I'll ask the musicians if they will come at this time. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your love in our life, for the things that you do for us. We are thankful for an opportunity to enjoy this service, whether we're being baptized or helping with baptism or doing the worship or doing the sound or whatever we're doing. I pray that this will be an encouragement to all of us in our walk with God. We love you, God. We trust you. In Christ's name, amen.